You're listening to Music Journey Podcast with my friend and host, Kim Sear. Blue-collar beer, drinking tailgating,
there is certified country cliche. You just heard a snippet of the brand new single called Country Cliche by Canadian sensation Devin Cooper. We're going to hear that in just a little bit. Devin Cooper released his second single, Country Cliche, that's off of his upcoming EP with the help of Juno Award-winning producers Spencer Cheen and Justin Cutting here just a few weeks ago. This song is real country in a small town. Fun times happening every weekend, hanging out with friends and ripping around town, cheap beers and staying as far away from the city lights as possible. Just celebrating good times. Here to talk about the new singles, my very special guest, country artist Devin Cooper. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim. How are you doing today?
Good, good. How about you?
Really good. Can't complain at all.
Oh,
life has been really good, all things considered.
Well, you know what? You are the real deal, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. It's I love what I get to do, and I'm honored to be on your show today. Thank you.
210 shows, 2019, and gone to what, 30 shows or so when it came to last year, 2020.
Yeah, 2019 was a wild year. Yeah, like you said, 210 shows. Mostly in Western Canada, but a few out east, and then was fortunate enough with everything that was happening last summer to still manage to do just over 30 shows, and obviously keeping everyone safe and still having a good time. But yeah, I was very fortunate to still be able to get that many shows in when that wasn't really something that was happening for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good, you know, that you were able to still do that, but it must have been great to be able to be on live stage. Calgary Stampede, all the shows that you've played this year, it must have been so good to be back with the band.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I mean, last year we did a few drive-in shows, and those are really cool. You get to hear the horns honking and things like that. But being on a stage with real people clapping and dancing and cheering right in front of you, there's nothing that beats that.
That energy is so different than honking horns, isn't it? Behind it's the steering wheels.
It's still a cool thing. I'm glad I got to experience that, see what that was like anyways, playing for a bunch of headlights blaring at you.
Well, Brett Kissel did that really well, you know, with the drive-in shows.
He did. I think he did that about better than everyone else, and kind of, like you said, kind of started the wave of that so everyone else could follow along and be able to put on those kind of shows as well. So I'm very thankful that he did that and kind of kicked it off for Canada.
We needed something just to bring a little bit of light during all of that. It must be great to play your brand new music, because I know you've been working really hard, you know, to be able to get this music out this year. So tell everybody about being able to play that new music this year and everybody being able to sing back some of those lyrics to you for the first time.
It's been amazing because, I mean, since probably 2018, I've been writing full time as well as playing full time. And I hadn't really released any music because I've spent so much time traveling back and forth between Calgary and Nashville writing tunes, and I think we got to the point we'd written just over 200 tunes that we were going to pick through to kind of pick the top 5 to 10 contenders kind of thing. And a lot of the tunes were actually written on a trip I went to Nashville in February of 2020, right before kind of everything shut down. So there was a whole year and a bit where those songs didn't really get to be played for anyone, but we knew they were the ones that were going to be on the record. And so it's really exciting to be able to get in, record those, and now come out with all this brand new music that hasn't really been heard before, even from a live audience. I mean, prior to COVID, I used to play out a lot of the songs that were unreleased and kind of like get a lot of audience feedback from friends and fans, and even on would hop on Instagram Live and that kind of thing once in a while and post little clips of things like that. But with no live shows happening, there wasn't any way I could really play them for live people in person and get that reaction. So it's been really, really cool.
And you've got such a special relationship with your fans and with your peers as well. And that's pretty special when you're looking at the music industry and the pool of talent that we have here in Canada. And to be able to see the acceptance, you know, from your country peers and that country community, you know, that genre is just so darn special. And the fans are so loyal.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. I remember the first time, kind of even before I was in the country scene, I went to an award show when I was 17 or 18. I was up for a blues recording of the year. And I remember walking into the lobby of this event center, and there was like all the rock bands that were all kind of like separated and had their own little groups and things like that. And then there was like jazz people. And then I was just kind of standing there by myself because I didn't really know anyone. And I remember seeing this huge group of people standing there. And I asked someone, I was like, who are those people? And they're like, oh, that's like the country scene. And I was like, really? It's like, it was like one big family. And I remember seeing that when I was, like I said, 17 or 18. And it was just so cool to me that the entire country community of artists even gathered together and kind of all supported each other and worked together, co-write together, and kind of help each other rise, and you all rise together. And I thought that was pretty cool. That was kind of one of the things that really changed my perspective on collaborating with other people, was just seeing that huge group together like that.
It's amazing how they spread their support right across the border to, you know, people that they haven't even heard yet or even met. And country artists are on there paying attention to who's coming up, who's, you know, even performing somewhere that they haven't even heard of before. And they're all congratulating each other. And hey, you know, it sounds really good. They're so supportive. And that's amazing.
Yeah, it is really amazing. And I don't think that kind of community exists in many other professions, even, mm-hmm. let alone other music genres, just to have that kind of a giant community of support.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. Let's take it back for fans that may not have heard you, because we have so many international listeners that they may not have heard what your story is. And growing up in a motorcycle shop and, you know, custom car builder with your father, the music influences growing up and what it meant to you.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in a custom motorcycle and hot rod shop with my dad, always building something crazy, something cool. And there was always kind of like Southern rock and blues on in the background. And that's kind of where the roots and origins of my music came from. I remember there was always Lynyrd Skynyrd or ZZ Top or Stevie Ray Vaughan or things like that that were playing in his shop. And then at home with my mom, she was a big 80s hair metal fan. So that was kind of my other influence growing up.
But, wow.
I mean, growing up in a small town, I think that whether you listen to country music or not at a young age, it's kind of something that's around, hanging out with all your friends in the country or going to country parties or things like that. Even if you're not listening to it, you're still doing half the things that all the songs are talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think when I started writing my music, I'd never even really thought of it as country, but I think I kind of always was writing country music in terms of the lyrical aspect of the music. And I was always telling a story. And to me, whenever I heard a song, what made it a good song was like telling a good story that really like pulled you in and made you feel something. And I think that the dedication that people put into the songwriting craft in country music is kind of something that I had always strived to achieve, but I didn't know that it was specifically kind of related to country, just because that's what country music's all about. It's a story. Mm-hmm. And so I think I was kind of playing and writing country music long before I even knew I was.
Well, it's funny because I don't know if it has anything to do with growing up in a small town. I think that lends itself to that simplicity where we pay attention to things a lot more. And that's kind of what your new single's about,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally. You kind of appreciate the small things that you have, whether that's like literally sitting by the river with nothing but a cold beer, or just like driving around town and being able to spend that good time with your friends and have fun and stuff like that. You're not focused on the next biggest, greatest thing. It's just enjoying what you have.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a pretty amazing thing to have at your age, you know, and starting out in this career. And like you said, you've been playing music, you know, for quite some time. Take it back to when you first picked up a guitar, because you traded in your toolkit for that guitar.
Yeah.
And, you know, talk about wanting to play it and what was your influences and who you heard that made you want to pick up that guitar.
Well, I was about 5 years old and I told my parents I want to play guitar, and I was begging for a guitar, and they just kept telling me, you're 5 years old, in 2 weeks you're going to want to do something different. Like, you're five, you're going to want to do something different. And I was begging and begging and begging, and finally, like 6 months later, my parents were like, all right, if you want to play guitar, save up your money from your allowances or good report cards or things like that, and then you can buy your own guitar. And if you really want to play guitar, then you can save up your allowances, and there'll be enough money before you know it, you'll be able to buy one. And so I was about 7 years old, and it was Christmas morning, and I walked out and used to live in like a big log cabin, and sitting right there in front of the fireplace is brand new shiny black electric guitar and amp sitting there waiting for me. So it was about a year and a half of me saving my money, and I still wanted a guitar. And so they ended up getting me one for Christmas on the condition that I took the money that I had saved up and paid for my first 6 months lessons. That was the deal that we had. They said, we'll buy you the guitar as long as you pay for your first 6 months lessons. And yeah, the rest is kind of history. I mean, I remember being, I think I was like three years old, and we had like the Beatles anthology disc. And I remember putting the disc in our CD player. We had one of those massive tower speaker systems that everybody had in the 90s and early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And just cranking up the Beatles song Day Tripper with that like iconic guitar riff in the intro. And I think that was maybe one of the things that really made me want to play guitars. I just remember listening to that over and over and over again, was just infatuated by it. And I mean, music was always on around in my house, like I said, between the shop and the house. But I think that kind of that one song is what drove me to the guitar, just because I probably asked my parents like, well, what's making that sound or whatever, and it was a guitar. And yeah, it's when I started playing, it was a lot of classic rock, like AC/DC and all those kind of things that everybody kind of plays when they first pick up the guitar. And a lot of my influences in the guitar playing aspect are rooted in the blues and Stevie Ray Vaughan and stuff like that, and Southern rock. But I feel that Southern rock has a very close connection with country music anyways, in terms of some of the instrumentation that's used and kind of how the bands are assembled and things like that.
Well, you can see that influence with what you've combined with your very unique sound, and that's that Southern rock. And you obviously got the blues in there, but there's so much more to it. And it's just a very, very special sound that you have.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think that it's kind of a combination of all of my influences and kind of everything I've lived and seen in my short 24 years of life that have kind of all been able to combine together and take a little bit of piece of everything that I loved growing up and put it into one. And I think we've kind of hit the head on the nail for what Devin Cooper is for this period of my life anyways.
Well, that you have, because you released Nothing on You, and that was in April of 2018. You received numerous local accolades for that. You were up for nomination and then took home the Artist of the Year for Red Deer Entertainment Awards. What was that like to step out on the award stage that young and to know that you've done that well, you know, was something that means so much to you?
It was cool. It was something I never really even thought about until it happened. I mean, I'm always just happy to be able to make music. And if I'm playing shows and are able to make an impact on an audience member or a fan or somebody who's never heard me before and make kind of an impact in some way on them, that was always a win for me. And that was kind of what I considered to be an award for myself, is if I can make an impact on someone. But to receive that kind of acknowledgement from the community and in an award like that, it was really cool. It was, for me, it was more for the fans that have supported me than myself, because I wouldn't have been able to receive that award or play any of those shows or continue to release music unless people were listening, paying attention, and supporting me. So
did you feel different once you started, you know, getting the recognition from your peers and from fans throughout Canada and Ontario with your friends at home? Did it change for you in the small town?
No, I think that I kind of always had a core group of really close friends back home. And I think that that friend group will kind of always stay the same. I mean, when you go back home, you don't really want to talk about work. They don't talk about their job. I don't talk about my day job. We just have a good time. So I think that I'm lucky to have a really good group of friends that, I think it's not really about the awards or success. It's just about continuing to show up for your friends and be there for people and that kind of thing. So
very, very cool. Well, you're so grounded, and that's what's so impressive about you. And I think that that's why the peers can look at you and say, and same with us, when we hear your story, to be able to look at you from a media standpoint and from a radio standpoint as a host, to be able to look and say, that guy is the real deal. His story's there. You're so balanced. You're so focused. But you also know how to live your life at the same time. It takes people a lifetime to learn that.
Yeah, I've had some very good influences in my life, and I had great parents. So I I'll give that to them for helping to get me where I am.
Very cool. Well, you also released a new single called Last Time Last with the help of Juno Award-winning producers Spencer Jean and Justin Cutting in 2020 in July. Talk about being able to work with award-winning producers and writers like this. Like, that's incredible for you to land that position, you know, with these guys. Talk about working with them.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I'm incredibly fortunate to have kind of landed with that crew and been able to become very good close friends outside of work with them as well. And it's actually kind of funny. So Justin Cutting was in the first full band show I ever played as myself, Devin Cooper, back when I was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. I'd won a radio contest in Olds for a rock station that they had. We ended up getting studio time to go into the studio, and we recorded a song, and Justin was the bass player that they'd actually hired to come in and track bass on my song. And we kind of hit it off, and then I had a chance to play the show opening for Lou Gramm the Foreigner. And at that time, I didn't really know any other musicians, so I just called up the studio band that had played with me on this track we recorded, and Justin was one of those guys. And that kind of initial studio session turned into playing live with me, turned into a production role where he's now one of my co-producers. He's also my MD, my band leader, and is still playing with me today, along with many other bands across Canada. He's band leader for Brett Kissel and also works on a million other records for another bunch of amazing artists. And Spencer was introduced to me not long after that as well. Justin introduced him to me. And again, we just hit it off, had a great hang. And we're all really excited just about making music and just a lot of similarities in our personalities. And we just ended up working together and it ended up working really great. And it's a relationship that's been kind of building for 4, 5, 6, I guess almost 7 years now with Justin. And it's pretty cool to get it to the point where we're able to put out consistent music and work together and collaborate and do all those things. And it's amazing to see the awards that those guys are taking home for themselves and being acknowledged for the work that they're doing amongst other artists as well. That's pretty cool to see.
Well, we've been talking about those two for quite some time, you know, when it comes to Sharp Nine and all the artists that they're working with. Now, you also released Good Times, a song reminding us all of what we should be thinking about right now and being able to celebrate life, right? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, Good Things is about kind of how no matter what it is you're doing in life, I mean, whether that's going to school to be a lawyer or a musician or pursuing a career building custom cars and motorcycles or whatever it is, if you're working on a relationship with that special person in your life, it's going to take time and you can't give up. And that's, I think that's a really important lesson that is kind of a positive light at the end of the tunnel after the past couple of years, is good things take time and we just got to know that everything happens for a reason. We got to keep working. There's going to be some rough times, but we keep working through it. We're going to get there in the end.
Well, Good Things is just something that we all need to focus on, right? And that's just such a special song. Talk about co-writing with this one and the writing process.
Yeah, I wrote this one with actually another fellow Canadian, Ali out of Edmonton, but we were down in Nashville. It was myself, Ali, and another friend of mine, Manning Rothrock. And the three of us had never written together. We all got into the room and we were just kind of passing around some ideas and chatting and things like that. And Ali just kind of pitched out this idea. She's like, what about the idea of good things? And just like how good things take time. And it kind of just like hit all three of us pretty hard, because it's like Manning is a full-time songwriter. Ali's an artist and songwriter. I'm a songwriter. And just like everything in our life, our parents' stories, everything like that, it's just, it's years and years of dedication, not giving up to get to where you're at. And it was just laid out so simply. It was like so simple how she said it. It was just good things take time. We're like, that's it. And it resonated with us. And so we kind of did some digging on the internet, like, has anybody else released a song like this? Because it's like, it's such a simple concept that is so universal. And there's nothing that had really kind of touched on that. And it was a fairly quick writing session. We did it in about an hour and a half. And
you had a lot of other stuff going on during that time too that nobody knew about. So like for you to be able to punch that out, but again, shows the professionalism where you can keep your focus on what you're trying to do, what you need to do.
Yeah.
Tell everybody about what was actually going on during that writing session.
During that writing session in particular, actually, I received a phone call in the middle of it, and my dad had been diagnosed with liver cancer about a year prior to that. And I had gone through the process to potentially put myself up as a live donor to give him a portion of my liver, and they would take his out and replace it. And we were basically just waiting on a call to find out when I could come in to do kind of all my preliminary testing and MRIs and blood work and all that kind of stuff. And when I was in the writing session for that song, I got a phone call from the hospital in Edmonton, and they said that there was an opening to come get my preliminary testing a little bit earlier. And I asked them, I said, if I come a week earlier from when I'm supposed to come, is that going to potentially affect the outcome of the operation date if I'm a candidate? Because there were so many variables up in the air at that point, like I didn't even know if I could be a candidate. And they said, no, we'll be a minimum of 6 months after this follow-up before you can get the actual operation done, if it is even possible that you can get it. And I was like, so you're telling me if I come back early, there's not one chance at all that we can potentially get in earlier? And they said, well, we're not supposed to tell you this, but next Monday, there's actually been a cancellation. And if you are a match to be a donor for your dad, there's a chance that you could potentially take next Monday's slot. So in the middle of that write, I found out that I was going to have to change my flights, come back early, because I wasn't going to risk not being able to get back to potentially do this operation that we'd been waiting on for quite some time. And again, at this point, I didn't even know if I could be a potential donor. So went back, never said anything in the write, just went back into the write. We finished the song, got into the write, called, changed my flights. So it was, I believe this is on like the Thursday or something. And they had changed my preliminary testing to the following Tuesday. So I changed my flight to Monday night, and actually Monday morning went and wrote with Carolyn Dawn Johnson, went from her place, got on the plane, flew back home overnight, went and did the 2 days of preliminary testing. It turned out that I was actually a match and that they were able to do the operation. And now this is Wednesday evening. Went back to Calgary for a few shows for the weekend, and Monday morning, the following Monday, we went in and did the operation and did a live liver transplant between myself and my dad. And here we are a year and a bit later, was cancer free with no complications. Everyone's happy and healthy, and we're good to go.
Insane. You know, what a gift. What a gift. God bless you for providing that life gift to your dad.
It was quite a wild time, a crazy couple of weeks there while I was in Nashville.
Yeah, I can't imagine even being there, knowing, you know, everything that was going on too, and just trying to be able to stay focused and praying that that donation of someone being able to give part of a lifelong gift of their body, and it turned out to be you, that you were the one that was positive to be able to give that donation. That is insane. That's amazing. What a great story.
Yeah, thank you. It was, we're pretty fortunate. It was, I'll say it was a miracle. It was basically a miracle that it happened the way that it did. Cause I mean, just a short few weeks later, when the whole world shut down, all of the,
operations were shut down too.
Operations were canceled. So it wouldn't have happened if it had been just a few weeks later. So I guess, good things take time, and sometimes it's just the right amount of time.
Well, it's also everything that you talk about in the songs that we're going to be talking about today, and that's having that positive outlook and that silver lining.
Yeah.
And no matter what's going on, it's just being able to focus on the good things, as this song says, right? And it's just that there's divine timing for everything. Divine timing to when your records hit, you know, the level of experience that you got writing, and the people that you wrote with to be able to produce the music you are now. Everything has its place and time, right? And just taking...
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, just taking that opportunity to remember that. And I know people rush to get stuff out onto, like anybody that's starting out in this business, it's tough to get on radio. It's really tough to get your songs heard. there's just a higher power as far as I'm concerned. I don't care what people want to call it. They can call it energy. Yeah. They can call it, you know, faith or whatever they want to call it. But I think somebody's definitely had their hand on you this entire way.
Yeah, I feel very fortunate. And I feel like you said, you want to get in a rush a lot of times, but there's something to be said about taking a second, looking at the whole situation and kind of being thankful for what you got in the moment and kind of accepting things as they come.
Well, I think for you too, probably this has taken on even a deeper meaning than it may have. If this wasn't going on with the pandemic and everything else, just everybody going through such hard times when it come to health issues and things like that, and with your dad going through what he was, for you to be a part of that during this time then and things happening makes you even more grateful than you were before.
Absolutely. There's over the past year I got the chance to get even closer with a lot of my very close friends and really build some really close relationships with a lot of people that are very important to me, and again spend some time with my folks again that I probably wouldn't have got to spend if I was on the road touring all that time. And so it was, like you said, there's a silver lining in everything.
Mm-hmm. Now you describe your childhood growing up in, you know, the log cabin and all the imperfections and, you know, the creative features that that brought out in you, that it represented to you. And that's a big part of the song too. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I grew up in a hand-built log cabin, and it's kind of like, you create something out of nothing. There's all these trees and you build this house out of it. And it was kind of the same in my dad's motorcycle and hot rod shop. He would create something out of nothing. And I think seeing all of those examples of creation in my childhood kind of led me to creating music, although it's so totally different in every aspect of building the log cabin or the motorcycles and cars. It's the creative aspect of creating something out of nothing and writing songs. And I think that having all of those influences around me growing up kind of led to me what I'm doing.
Big part of your creativity is being able to watch and be a part of, you know, the motorcycle shop and the classic cars, things that your dad worked on, because you're building it with your own two hands. Absolutely. You appreciate things so much more.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
100%. Here is Good Things by country sensation Devin Cooper here on Music's Journey.
Handmade leather couch sitting in the living room, right beside grandpa's clock. You're building 52 in a house, some land, the white picket fence was passed on down to me. Refrigerator door full of snapshot memories, right below the top shelf, well-aged whiskey that you drank. You worked to the bone, the dirt, it's been a long week. But you know what they say about good things. They take a little longer than you might think. So if you're thinking about taking a shortcut, relying on some good luck, well, let me put your mind at ease. Cause you know what to say about good things. First date kiss, waiting, felt like eternity. Old man's truck, man, he finally gave me the keys and it runs the same. Did back in the day when that girl changed everything.
One day she's gonna marry me.
Cause you know what to say about good things. They take a little longer than you might think. So if you're thinking about taking a shortcut, relying on some good luck, well let me put your mind at ease. Cause you know what to say about good things. Well yeah, I've been on the last one. Well, something about them built a little stronger. And just when things seem at their best, we'll wait and see what's coming next. Cause you know what to say about good things. They take a little longer than you might think. So if you're thinking about taking a shortcut, relying on some good luck, let me put your mind at ease. Cause you know what to say about a good thing.
That was the lead single, Good Things, off his upcoming EP by my very special guest, country artist Devin Cooper. I love the song and the lyrics, and when you hear it, handmade leather couch sitting in the living room, right beside Grandpa's clock he built in 52. In the house, some land with a white picket fence that was passed on down to me. An explosion of hooks and melody, this song has. Incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, it's we wanted to find a way to kind of tie in all those little special things that even if you don't have that hand-built leather couch or the clock or something like that, you know you're going to have something that's in your life, in your house, that was passed on to you, or that's has been built by relatives or passed on, or like that family heirloom that's been cherished. And it's just a reminder that a lot of people before you did a lot of work to create the spaces that we get to have today.
Mm-hmm. And I know Justin, as well as Spencer, really took their time building what they wanted to have as the sound, the players they wanted behind this music. Tell us about that. Absolutely. Production and working with the Sharp 19.
Yeah, it was really cool. We prior to this recording session where we started to record all these songs, I think it was a constant kind of discovery of not only myself, but them and their production team, and kind of who I am as an artist, what I want to say, what I want to sound like. And when we came into this room this time to kind of all chat about the project and what we wanted to do, there were a few things that I really wanted to include that were kind of from my childhood, in terms of like those big drums from like the 80s hard rock songs and things like that, and having some really heavy elements in these songs that really carry some weight and kind of give the instrumentation like an emotional punch to it that can go along with the lyrics that we've written, while still kind of combining those iconic country sounds, the dobro and banjo and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that between the players that we kind of all decided on together, they really found a fantastic way to tie all those parts together to work together in a way that I haven't really heard before. And it was just a really exciting process to kind of see all this coming together, of hearing my influences of my entire life being brought together in this one combination.
Mm-hmm. Well, because the song's bold, you know, the lyrics are bold, and they created the production that matches every part of that, but still allowing the lyrics to be center. And that takes a really great team to be able to understand the artist, to be able to read who you are. Because just from what I know about you, for your music, everything I'm hearing in it, it's really important to you to stay authentic, really important to you to keep your influences right center, you know, for everybody to see.
Absolutely. It's, I think it's one of those things where there's a lot of people that I look up to that have kind of paved the way in different sounds and different industries and different musical genres, that whenever I look at my influences, it's, they all have their own sound that kind of make them stand apart from other people in that genre. And it was just really important for me to kind of have a sound, have my sound that represented who I was, where maybe it doesn't resonate with everybody, but it's true and it's authentic and honest to what I believe and what I stand for. And I know the people that it does resonate with, it resonates incredibly strongly with them.
Well, good for you. I'm really amazed, you know, at the wisdom that you have and just your focus. I know Spencer has done an amazing job working with Annika, his wife, and her new music and the journey that she was on prior to, and we've had her on the show. And what an incredible talent she is. And just to see everything she's done, we're going to talk about that special news we got coming up with her too in a little bit with Brett. But talk about what it was like for your dad to hear this song finished.
It's cool. I mean, he's kind of seen the evolution of me since I first started playing. And I think it's one of those things where he's incredibly proud of everything I'm doing. And I don't even think he really knew about the story of what was happening when I got the phone call during that writing session and stuff like that until the song was all done. Because for me, it's about creating the great product that represents what we need to do and what we need to share, and getting that message across. And then we can share all those things afterwards, but really focusing on just getting that great message across without getting too cluttered up with too many emotions in
Man, they in raised the you well. Process. Gosh, they raised you well. Holy cow. Wow.
And yeah, I'm sure they'll be listening to this, so shout out to them.
Well, and, yeah.
Yeah, it was, I know my parents are both incredibly proud of me and proud of the work that I'm doing, and yeah, I just know they're very happy with it, so.
Tell us about a favorite destination bike ride that you would love to go on with your dad.
Well, for 3 years now, we've been planning a trip to Sturgis, South Dakota for the big Sturgis bike rally that they have down there in August every year.
And wow, that would be a trip.
Yeah, the first year we weren't able to go due to some health issues that had arose. Now, last summer was COVID was happening and we were not able to go. And now this past summer that we just had, again, due to COVID, the borders were closed. So we weren't able to go again this year. So we were hoping third time's a charm and we were able to go. But I think next year we're going to make it all work. We're going to get the group of guys together and head down there for that and ride through the Black Hills in South Dakota. Is just something I'd really love to do with my dad and kind of his group of friends that he went down with for the first time 20 some years ago. So
nice to have that big circle moment, you know, that you're able to do all this with your dad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What, absolutely.
Really special. Do you remember the first time you ever got on a bike with your dad?
I do. Well, he built me my first bike when I was 4 years old.
Wow.
And
you got a good dad.
So I got a great dad. I got great parents. And I got on the bike for the first time. I don't think I'd really been on a bike before that. I think potentially I'd maybe ridden around our old acreage that we used to live at when I was very young, on the back of a bike with my dad or something, just around the yard. But I think the first time was I'd ridden bicycles and I think I was off my training wheels by the time I was like 2 or something like that. And so when I was 4, he built me this little mini bike and built a frame for it and all this kind of stuff at his bike shop that he had. And I remember it was all geared up. I had leather chaps on and jacket and big helmet and stuff like that, all protected. And my dad's like, just go for a ride and see how it is. And I went for a ride around the block. And it was, I think from that point on, I had the bug. I mean, every weekend we used to take, because at that point we lived in town in the log cabin, and we'd load up my bike and take it out to the country, and I'd go ride around the countryside all the time. It was a little mini chopper looking bike that he built and the sprung seat on it and stuff like that. And I put a lot of miles on that bike riding around until I was probably 7 or 8 years old, probably rode it for 4 years. And then I got a dirt bike, started dirt biking and rode the dirt bike for a while until I crashed it pretty good and broke my arm. And
oh, wow.
took a little break from that for a while till I was a little bit older and then got my own bike for the road.
Very cool.
Yeah, my first bike was when I was 4 years old.
Very cool. Does your dad have a favorite classic car?
Favorite classic car?
Yeah, one that
I'm sure he does. I think we both kind of have this mentality, like we can't own all of our favorite cars at once, so we're going to own them one at a time. So I can't imagine the amount of cars he's owned. I know I'm over 20 at this point already.
Holy
cars nice. And bikes and things I've owned. So I think that he's probably owned a couple of his favorites over the years, but I'm trying to think of something that would be his favorite that he hasn't owned before. Maybe like a 39 Lincoln Zephyr.
Ooh.
It's, they're about as rare as hen's teeth.
Jeez.
Which is pretty rare.
Very and, cool.
So yeah, I think that's probably one of his dream cars that he hasn't had the chance to own.
Do you have a favorite project that you worked on with your dad?
One of my favorite projects was, I have a 71 GMC right now that him and I kind of resurrected. It was an original paint truck that had been sitting for about 25 years when I bought it. Rust-free original paint truck from the original owner, and
wow.
But it had just been sitting for so long, and it was kind of half tore apart, so we put it all back together, kind of went through the whole truck. Mechanical wise, put a new motor in it, got everything going, and I've been driving that truck for 4 years now. And so we've spent a lot of time working on that truck together over the past few years, and I've learned a ton from him. It's been great to be able to build something with him that's my own and be able to drive it around. I've taken it out to the CCMAs and there in Saskatoon and up to Kelowna and kind of all over Western Canada and drove it everywhere. So it's that'd probably be my favorite project that I've worked on with him.
Very cool. Now you're talking about being on the road. Now you were at Calgary Stampede, Nashville North. That must have been pretty cool.
That was cool. I've seen a lot of my favorite bands play that stage over the years, and it was kind of one of those things, like, as an artist, you get to see your favorite bands play all these stages, and when you finally get to be on that stage, it's a pretty cool moment to have my band there with me, and after we'd played a few shows and things like that, and be able to get on that stage and just play our hearts out and have an absolute blast. It was pretty cool.
Now, we also talked about the CCMAs, that you announced a contender for the Live Innovation Award for your charity event, and
Yes. That
is the Ride to Remember in support of Alzheimer's Society. Talk about that special moment to hear about this ballot.
Yeah, it's really cool to be a contender on that nomination and kind of be acknowledged for the event that I created. Like I said, growing up, I grew up in my dad's custom motorcycle shop, but I didn't really know what my mom did at the time. And she still does this. She works in a continuing care home with folks with dementia. So when I was about 7 years old, I went in, I wanted to know what she did at work. So I started volunteering at her continuing care facility she worked at. And when I got a bit older, 9, 10, and I started bringing my guitar in and playing my guitar for the residents. And I remember the first time I played like a Johnny Cash song or an Elvis song or something like that. And I saw the faces of the residents light up who had been dealing with Alzheimer's and dementia and didn't have any memory of things that had happened, but they heard this song and they just lit up. They started clapping and singing along to the song. And it hit me pretty hard as a 14, 15 year old kid that saw what an impact that music had. So when I was a little bit older, a few years ago, I had the opportunity to kind of create a charity event, and I wanted to tie everything that was my childhood together. I'd had some family members who had suffered from Alzheimer's, and then growing up in the motorcycle shop, I wanted to create a motorcycle ride, a charity event, a concert, everything all together that created awareness for what music does for patients with Alzheimer's. And the event raised funds to bring music programs into continuing care facilities and seniors homes and things like that, so that folks who do have Alzheimer's are able to have that little moment of relief and take them back to kind of their younger days and bring some of those memories back for them.
Pretty, pretty special positive impact that live music has, and what music has on anyone, you know, that's dealing with dementia or Alzheimer's. And we're talking about a very special event that he's got coming up, and it is called Ride to Remember in support of Alzheimer's Society, and the contending ballot that he has at the CCMA and recognized for this amazing event. It's your third annual event that's coming up late in the fall this year.
Yeah, third annual event is going to be coming up later this fall. We're just in the final stages of kind of arranging everything for this year and figuring out how we're going to make it work depending on what the restrictions and regulations are in terms of live events and things like that. But a little bit later this fall, we'll have the third annual Ride to Remember. So you can stay tuned for that announcement coming up.
Is there a place that people can tune in right away that you can give us right now so we don't forget that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be posting about it on my social media pages, which is at Devin Cooper Music. Ride to Remember also has their own Instagram page as well, which will have kind of all the updates of what's happening. And that's at Ride to Remember YYC on Instagram. So that'll have all the firsthand updates of what's going to be happening for the event this year, who's going to be playing and what it's going to look like.
It's so nice when you were talking about, you know, what music does and bringing back memories. And it's amazing how people may not be able to remember that are going through just everyday life and things that they used to do, things that they did with their hands, anything that they did for a living, or just remembering things in general. But the one thing that they seem to be able to do is to remember music.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing how music can resonate like that.
Yeah. Brings up those emotions to whatever they were feeling in that time. And it just seems like it just brings them right back. They might not remember everything, but, you know, they do respond to the music. And it's just an amazing thing to see. Now, you have released a second single, and it's called Country Cliche, which we were talking about. We played a snippet of at the beginning of the show. This is from your upcoming EP. This song is so cool, the way that you changed this a little bit and brought it back to a simple country life, but also bringing it to an anthem that heavy rock bass that we are looking for. Again, the production for this song. Talk about writing this one first, and then we'll get into the production, because it's really cool.
It was a really fun song to write. It was myself, Spencer Sheen, one of my producers, and then Brad Saunders, a good friend of mine. And we sat down one night, we're just having a beer, and Brad's from a small town out in the East Coast, and all Spencer's born and raised in Calgary, but he gets what the small town life is like. And we were just joking around and kind of started playing like a 12-bar blues kind of riff type thing, and literally just started spitting out lyrics, kind of making a joke almost. And we kind of stopped and we're like, this is kind of cool. Like, maybe we should kind of pursue this idea. Cause what we were doing is just, it had a cool groove to it, had a cool flow. It was just so simple, so laid back. And, again, I think this one was about a 45 minute or hour long write. Wow. It was so, so quick. And it's just kind of one of those things. Like I said, it's as much of a joke as it is literally the truth. I mean, if you're not from the country or a small town, you hear about all these literally cliches that happen in the country, but mm-hmm. the fact of it is that's literally what happens. So it's, and I think if any country person or small town person wanted to take you out and have a good time, they'd probably do all these things and they'd have no problem showing you around and having some fun.
I remember, like for me, I came from Toronto and then moved to York region and then out into the country, out into Mennonite country. And it was just a totally different world for me, but I loved the peace. I loved the break of the noise from the city. Now I don't miss it. Now I do not miss the city anymore. I love going to see it for events and things like that, but I would rather live, you know, just that quiet life where I can unplug from everything and then choose to go back into it when I choose to.
Absolutely. And I think that wherever you are in the world, everybody kind of needs a break from that once in a while, and just to be able to unplug and just listen to the quietness and stillness of the world when you're out and you're not filled with everything that's happening in a big city. And we just kind of wanted to capture everything that is the small town country, laid back, simple, just have a good time, and then kind of turned into an anthem.
Well, let's keep those summertime vibes going right now. Here is Devin Cooper's second single off the upcoming EP, and that is Country Cliche, right here on Music's Journey.
Take a sip, pack a dip. Round up your buzz, ain't looking for love. Now we're just out for a rip. Take a toe. Us catching a buzz, do it till we all go broke. It's gonna be a bona fide. It's gonna be in a phone night. It's gonna be a redneck and two-step, and you can reckon we'll be getting gone with the moonshine. Don't need no highways, cause we're popped out by the lake. Cause we're blue-collar beer drinking, tailgating, hair raising, certified country cliche. Unzip a skinny dip. It's going down in this nowhere town. Don't need no city lights to get lit. It's gonna be a bona fide. It's gonna be in a bone night. It's gonna be a redneck and two-step, and you can reckon we'll be getting gone with the moonshine. Don't need no highways, cause I'm parked out by the lake. Beer drinking, tailgating, hair is certified country cliche. And you can reckon we'll be getting gone with the moonshine. Don't need no highways, cause we're parked out by the lake. Yeah, cause we're blue
beer, drinking tailgating hair in a 35 country cliche. Yeah, we're a blue-collar beer, drinking tailgating hair in a 35 country cliche.
That's Country Cliche by Devin Cooper, about good times, good things, simple things, things that money cannot buy. And I think we all could learn that. And I know that this past year and a half, I think we probably all have, when we've had to unplug. We might not have wanted to, but we definitely learned how to do it. And just reminding us about good times around with friends, family, and just being able to, I don't know, just celebrate life in a different way, in a way that I think that brings us right back to the core, right, of living.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just enjoy the moment.
Mm-hmm. Great rock anthem to this one. I love the arrangement. Oh, incredible job that these guys did. Again, we're dealing with Justin Cutting and Spencer Cheen. Tell us about putting this song together. It was just so cool.
It's cool because, as I said earlier, Spencer Cheen was a writer on it. And we kind of started to demo it right after we'd written it and kind of had some ideas. And I'd played this song out live for the past 2 years prior to us recording it. And it was kind of one of those things that, like, at every show, people just loved it and loved it and loved it. And everyone wanted to hear a recorded version of it. So it was kind of one of the ones we just decided we have to do. It was just too much fun not to. And we wanted to kind of find a way to make it real swampy, funky, country all in one kind of thing while still keeping it hard hitting. And like I said before, Justin Cutting and Spencer Cheen just knocked it out of the park in terms of the arrangement, the instrumentation. And I think this time in particular with this batch of songs, we were able to spend a lot of time sitting in the studio together, working on pre-production ideas and trying different ideas and trying cool things and really spend multiple days on each song, dissecting each part and kind of figuring out what would be cool here and working out all those parts prior to actually tracking the song. And it's I think it definitely paid off in the end result in terms of all of the things that we were able to capture in each of the songs.
Very cool.
This one.
Very, very cool. You've got a music video coming up.
Yeah, we're doing some acoustic videos. We actually were just out on location today checking out where we're going to shoot. So we're going to do a whole live series of acoustic videos, kind of like we did for the Good Things live acoustic version, which is also available on Spotify and iTunes and all those things like that. We're going to be doing an acoustic version of each one of the tunes on the record and kind of giving a different feel to what the tunes were more like when they were written, stripped back, no production, really live, raw, and real. And along with that, there's probably going to be music video or two coming out for the fully produced songs as well as we continue into the release cycle upcoming for the EP.
Very, very cool. You've got a music video coming up.
Yeah, we're doing some acoustic videos. We actually were just out on location today checking out where we're going to shoot. So we're going to do a whole live series of acoustic videos, kind of like we did for the Good Things live acoustic version, which is also available on Spotify and iTunes and all those things like that. We're going to be doing an acoustic version of each one of the tunes on the record and kind of giving a different feel to what the tunes were more like when they were written, stripped back, no production, really live, raw, and real. And along with that, there's probably going to be music video or two coming out for the fully produced songs as well as we continue into the release cycle upcoming for the EP.
It must have been great to get into the actual studio to be able to work together, you know, instead of having to do anything by Zoom, because you said you've been traveling a lot, you know, between Nashville and here. That must have been such a nice break for you guys to be able to feed off the energy, to be able to sit and work together and be able to hear it live.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was really special being able to get to spend that time in the studio with those guys. And just, I mean, I think coming up with a great product is as much of having a great hang as it is working with great people. I mean, we have more laughs and more fun times in the studio than I can probably even say on air. And
trust me, I know Bill well, and I know the team. So yes, I do know.
we just have a great time hanging out. And it's just, I think it really shows in the songs that we're putting together how much fun we have recording them and all these like kind of crazy things we get to do in the songs and sounds we get to try and things like that. It really changes the recording process of being able to have that time working together and just having a great time.
Well, that's what the whole song's about, too. It's just remembering to enjoy and just have a good time. And that's what Country Cliché is all about. It's just such a fun song. Such a fun song.
Absolutely. So
don't forget you can purchase Country Cliché, share it on all your streaming platforms and socials. You can also request it at your country local radio station. You have some great news that's coming up, but we were talking about, I said a little bit about it, and that's Encore. Tell us about this amazing news you have.
I'm incredibly excited for this one. A few years ago, probably 2 years ago now, there was a group of us that went out to a writing retreat at a good friend of ours, Aaron's cabin. And there's a writing retreat weekend where we wrote, 10 songs in 3 days. And one of the songs that we wrote was this song called Encore. And it was myself, Aaron Pollock, Chris Yerchuk, Annika, and Spencer Cheen that were all in the room writing this song. And now fast forward a couple years, Annika is going to be releasing that song as a duet with Brett Kissel. And it's really cool for me as a writer, because I've been, like I said, I've written over a couple hundred tunes in the past few years. And not only for myself, but to see other artists resonating with those songs. And aside from Annika and Brett recording the song, there's a few other songs that are coming out before the end of the year that other artists have decided to record. And it's a really cool kind of, I won't say pat on the back moment for me, but just a cool moment to see.
Hey, it's a huge accomplishment.
As Annika and Brett Annika was a writer on the song, and we were all in love with the song from the minute we wrote it. But to have her actually go into the studio and record it, and both her and Brett lay down an absolutely world-class vocal performance on both of their parts, it's a pretty amazing thing to hear and pretty cool to be a part of.
Well, I'm just going to keep repeating this because there's nothing else to say here other than how talented you are all the way around as a musician, as a singer-songwriter. Your voice is incredible, but just your professionalism and your focus is amazing to see. And you are going to go far in this business. You really are.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much, Kim.
Now, you are working really hard, as I said, on a new EP. You got some music coming up. Can you tell us anything?
There is more coming. We're finalizing the whole release date and kind of how things are going to be coming. But top of next year, you're gonna get a whole bunch of Devin Cooper tunes coming your way.
Very cool. And that live performance, I can't wait to get there in person to actually see you play, because I know that you do a killer live performance.
I can't wait to see you there in the crowd and hang out and have a beer afterwards with you.
Oh, sounds good to me. Do you have a favorite beer?
Ooh, that's tough. Normally I like pretty standard beers, like nothing too crazy, like a Old Mill or something like that. But lately I've been on this weird sour beer kick where there's a bunch of craft breweries. I don't know what the craft brewery market is like in Ontario, but in Alberta, there's one on every street corner.
Mm-hmm.
And between Justin and Spencer and some of the guys in my band, we've kind of been on a kick of trying all these different weird ones, and just because it's so totally different from just the normal standard that you drink. So
there's a lot of mixtures, when it comes to, you're seeing the shows coming up everywhere. You're seeing it on YouTube and all over social media, where the breweries are working with different artists and they just have these big, huge containers of different types of beer that, everybody's doing. So they're popping up everywhere.
Yeah. There's one really cool one I will say that I do like. It's by Zero Issue Brewing and it's called the Nemesis.
Oh, I've heard that by several people. Haven't tried it yet.
I highly recommend it.
Mm.
That would be one of the go-tos lately, I would say.
Now, I saw you doing an interview for some spirits.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
That was Eau Claire Distillery, which is just outside of Calgary. And they were one of the sponsors for our Good Things live acoustic video we did. So they provided us with a bunch of liquids to stay hydrated during the shoot. And
bring out that creativity.
Absolutely. So I had a chance to actually kind of create this video series as a spinoff of the Good Things song, where I got to sit down with a bunch of local businesses Eau Claire Distillery being the first one, and chat about their process, the craft. I got to chat with the master distiller, Caitlin, who's out at Eau Claire Distillery, and kind of about her process, her journey, getting to where she is as the master distiller, and what that whole process looks like. And we've got a few more of those videos coming out. It'll be kind of coming out throughout the next year of the Good Things series, where we get to sit down and chat with some local businesses and talk about their craft and share a bit with them.
Good job. I really enjoyed that. It was really cool to watch. Really, really cool.
Thanks.
Okay, so high handlebars or low handlebars, which is your favorite?
Depends on the bike. I'm not like super high handlebars. I would say like mid bars. I think it depends on the bike though. I'm a big fan of like old school choppers that are little ridge frame sprung seat with like little mini apes, but nothing too ridiculous with your arms way up in the air.
Okay, very cool. Dream motorcycle?
Dream motorcycle. Ooh, that's a tough one. Probably a knucklehead, like Harley Davidson knucklehead chopper.
Nice. Very, very nice. Okay, so favorite song of all time and why?
Favorite song of all time.
Any genre.
And why?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a tough one. One of my favorite songs of all time, Life by the Drop by Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Nice. Really nice.
It's kind of a different one because normally for him it's all the electric blues and things like that. And it's just really cool to see another side of him as an artist, and myself playing lead electric guitar most of the time, but doing a lot of acoustic shows, it was cool to see how he approached playing the acoustic guitar, as well as such kind of like a heartfelt emotional story in that song, which it just really resonated with me. That's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Really, really interesting choice. That's a nice one. Okay, so if you could have any live performance with one of your idols, past or present, who would it be and why? And what would you talk to them about?
Anyone. It would probably be at the Royal Albert Hall. And it would probably be, I'd have to say, with probably Stevie Ray Vaughan. And if it couldn't be Stevie Ray Vaughan, it'd probably be Eric Clapton.
Nice. See, as soon as you were talking about that song, as soon as you were talking about that, your favorite song, that's the first place I went to, was Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if I could perform anywhere with one of my idols, it would probably be, Royal Albert Hall in London with SRV or Clapton. And I guess now it would have to be Clapton because he's the only one alive. So.
That's right. Okay, so what would you say to him?
I would just say thanks for creating the music you did and inspiring generations and generations of musicians to pursue it and keep pushing to create new sounds.
Wouldn't that be cool to hear the two of you play together?
That would be pretty unbelievable. We'll put it out into the universe that'll happen.
It's a big manifestation. We're going to do it. We're doing it right now. Eric Clapton, we're calling on you. Devin Cooper,
absolutely.
Come on. All right, so traveling as much as you have, what is your favorite place to eat, someplace south of the border that you have to stop at when you're on the road?
Oh, it might be kind of generic, but you can't beat Hattie B's hot chicken in Nashville. It's so good. And if it wasn't Hattie B's hot chicken, I would definitely stop at the Frothy Monkey in Nashville for their chicken salad that they have. Mm. Sounds weird to say that, but they have an unbelievable chicken salad and their coffee's unreal. And then they have a cookie that has like, it's like a chocolate chip cookie with espresso on top.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. What do you have in your coffee? I was asked that question from a fan. So what do you take in your coffee, or do you have a specialty coffee that you prefer?
Typically, like if I'm just going to like pound 5 or 6 coffees in the morning, it'll be like a little bit of cream or milk in it. Nothing too crazy. If you have like really, really good coffee, then I like to drink it black, but you got to have really, really good coffee to make that happen. But most of the time it's just a couple milk or a couple cream in it, and then you're good to go.
5 or 6 cups of coffee. Now I know how you get everything done.
Yeah. Might be an issue. A couple pots a day, probably.
Really? Wow. Man, you seem so
calm. I'm drinking a coffee as we speak.
See, I have one cup. If I have any more than that, I'm shaking. My lip starts to shake.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah, I shake from head to toe. This can't happen.
It takes quite a bit for me to get to that point.
Well, you're probably little sleep and working so much. That's probably why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so favorite memory growing up?
Favorite memory growing up? When I was really little, till I was about 4 years old, we used to live on an acreage outside of town. And we had 13 acres, middle of nowhere, just dead quiet, like we were talking about before. And just kind of having the opportunity to grow up out there, running around, riding my bicycle around, and just like having the space to hang out and run around and get hurt and not really worry about it, have a mom with a nurse that could take care of me, and just like just kind of have that
freedom.
I mean, everything's bigger when you're little, right? Mm-hmm. So you're this little kid running around and just having that space to run around and explore. That's
nature does wonders, doesn't it?
It does.
Okay, so if you could pass on advice that your parents shared with you, what would it be?
Probably that you can do anything you want. You just got to put your mind to it and you can't give up.
Very cool. Okay, so favorite country artist on the radio today and favorite rock artist?
Favorite country artist on the radio would be split between two people. Be split between Kip Moore and the band The Cadillac Three.
Very cool.
Those would be two of my favorites by far. As far as rock bands, probably my favorite rock band of all time would be Motley Crue.
Well, see, Motley Crue is playing them with a lot of country artists. I can see that one happening with you.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be good? We can manifest that one too. Okay.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's make it happen.
Best, most useless talent.
Best, most useless talent.
Come on.
I was a pretty good bowler when I was growing up.
Didn't see that coming.
Pretty useless. I don't know what else would be a useless talent. I try to avoid useless things.
You'd be surprised. I can't wait to ask Bill that one. You know.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm scared to ask him that question on air. I really am.
Yeah. I get the sensor button ready.
That's right. That's what I was expecting with you. I wasn't expecting bowling.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of the most ridiculous thing that I'm good at. Not good at too much other than music and riding bikes. No. I'm sure there's something useless that I'm going to think of once this conversation's over.
If you do, send it to me and I'll put it in the article. You know, that I'll be doing for you too. So, okay. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And we cannot wait to hear your debut EP. You promise you'll come back?
Absolutely.
Okay.
As long as you'll have me, I'll be there.
Absolutely. We look forward to it. Thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your time. And I'll put everything out to Bill and you'll see where all the live streaming is going to be and the article and all of that. And we'll remind all the fans where to get your brand new single.
Thank you so much, Kim. Yeah, have a great day.
I want to thank my very special guest, Devin Cooper, for coming on the show. We cannot wait to hear his debut EP that's coming up. Don't forget, you can download Country Cliché, and you can get that on all your streaming platforms right now. Share it on all your socials. And don't forget, you can request it at your local country radio station. I hope you enjoyed my interview today with Devin Cooper. You can catch my show every Tuesday evening from 7 until 9 p.m., or you can catch all of my interviews at musicsjourney.com. And the interesting articles with all the latest music and videos about all the artists that I interview here at nowandthenmagazine.com. You can also listen to all the podcasts on all your streaming platforms under Music's Journey Podcast. I have some great shows coming up for you with The Roadhammers, JoJo Mason, Weapons, Lemon Cash, Western Swing Authority, New Moon Junction. We've got Todd Tillman, got rock band Bad Wolves, and so much more. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey Podcast. Have yourself a wonderful day. Take a seat.
just out for a rip. We'll take a joke. Holy smoke. Tipping back suds, catching a buzz. Do it till we all go broke. It's gonna be a bona fide. It's gonna be an iPhone night. It's gonna be a redneck and two-step. And you can reckon we'll be getting gone with the moonshine. Don't need no highways, cause we're popped out by the lake. Cause we're blue-collar beer drinking, tailgating, hair raising, certified country cliche.